Welcome to the Soul Lounge. The Soul Lounge is now open, and here's your host, the Lady DJ.
Well, the lights are dim, and it is time to open the doors to the Soul Lounge. I am the Lady DJ, and as always, I am so glad you are here to hang out with us. We have a very special show coming up for you today. It's going to be in two parts. Coming up during the second half of the show, we are going to move this operation into the VIP room where an incredible artist who was named by VH1 as a one to watch, Russell Taylor, is going to be hanging out with us. I'll have a chance to talk to him, and he'll also be performing a few songs as well. But first, I want to spend this half of the show celebrating the life and the music of the incomparable Michael Jackson. On June 25th, that day marked the fifth anniversary of his death. And since we weren't together then, I thought that maybe tonight we'd be able to not only reminisce about his life and legacy through his music, but also the music of those artists who were inspired by him. So coming up, we're going to hear from Michael Jackson, of course, but I've got music from New Edition and Usher, as well as Justin Timberlake. And I have some interesting quotes from a number of artists who were inspired by MJ when they speak specifically to why he was so incredible. But why don't we get started? This is probably one of my favorite songs, especially in his more contemporary catalog. This was written by the group Floetry, the duo, remember them? It's called Butterflies. So let's start things off with Michael Jackson inside the Soul Lounge.
Away and pass me by. Don't acknowledge.
music is the language of the soul.
You're inside the Soul Lounge. I'm the Lady DJ. That was Al B. Shore. Yes, the Al B. Shore from way back in like the late 80s. He was huge back then. Now, here's what's interesting. That song, the remake of Michael Jackson's Lady in My Life, which appeared on the Thriller album, was on Al B. Shore's album called Honey, I'm Home, which was released just 6 days before Michael Jackson passed away. It was released on June the 23rd. He passed away on the 29th. So obviously that was a coincidence, but I thought it was really interesting that Al B. Shore decided on that, which was his fourth studio album, the first time he'd released an album in many, many years, that he chose that opportunity to pay homage to Michael Jackson. So A Lady in My Life by Al B. Shore. Okay, coming up next, we are going to hear a cut from Michael Jackson's most recent album, Escape. This is the album that was released earlier this year, which included a ton of unreleased music that was reproduced and calibrated and released by a number of very popular producers. This song probably sounds familiar to you for one of two reasons. First of all, Michael Jackson sampled a very popular rock song from way back in 1972 called A Horse With No Name. And it was a song by a group called America. And the song went top 10 and number one in Norway, I believe. So it was a very big song internationally. But also, a couple of days after his death, TMZ, which is a popular news organization here in the United States, released a snippet of this song, and it confirmed what we all suspected, which was that there was unreleased music from Michael Jackson in existence somewhere, and we were hoping someone would do something with it, and they did. So, this is from the Escape album. This is Michael Jackson's A Place With No Name inside the Soul Lounge.
Across on the highway, my Jeep began to rock. I didn't know what to do, so I stopped and got out and looked down. I noticed I got a flat, so I rubbed out, parked the car like sideways, so I can find what I can fix. I looked around, there were no cars on the highway. I felt a strange feeling like city up here, where kids are playing and people are laughing and smiling and living fear. She said, this is the place where no people are paying with love and happiness. She turned around, looked down in my eyes and started crying and come again. You've got a friend. She showed me places I've never seen and things I've never done. This really skies and the birds and the flowers surrounded by the trees. This place is filled with love and happiness. So in the world, can I wanna be something? I went in my pocket, took my wallet on out with my pictures of my family and girl. This is the place that you choose to be with me. When you thought you could be in another world.
From Michael Jackson inside the Soul Lounge. We are celebrating the life and the music of the late MJ, commemorating him as earlier this week was the fifth anniversary of his death. Now, in addition to just the incredible music that he released as an artist, he inspired so many of our favorite soul and R&B and, of course, pop artists as well. One of them, if I was to say, who do you think was most inspired by Michael Jackson? Who's the first person that comes to your mind? First person that comes to my mind is this next artist, a gentleman by the name of Usher. When Usher came out as a very young person, you saw it in the way he moved, in the way he danced, in the way he sang. And I have this interesting quote from Usher talking about Michael Jackson. He said, "He influenced me in so many ways. More than just music, as a humanitarian, as a philanthropist, as an artist, as an individual who transcended culture, I wouldn't be who I am today without Michael Jackson," says Usher. They say if you ever want to be great, you've got to study the greats. So, of course, I studied his moves, studied them down to a T, but there was much, much more to him than that. And he went on again to say, "I would not be the artist, performer, and philanthropist I am today without the influence of Michael." And again, you hear it in the music and you see it in the imagery. And this next song I remember just from the video. It was just like something you would expect Michael Jackson to release. So here is from the Confessions album. This is Usher's Caught Up inside the Soul Lounge.
I'm the kind of brother who've been doing it my way, getting my way for years in my career. And every lover, in and out my life, I hear love and left in tears without a care. But I was so sure that it wouldn't happen to me, 'cause I know I
course, that's Usher with Caught Up inside the Soul Lounge, one of contemporary pop music's artists most influenced by Michael Jackson. Another young pop artist influenced by Michael Jackson, Justin Timberlake. He said, "I'm lucky enough to have memories actually physically and on stage and off." He actually did a little collaboration with Michael Jackson for the album Escape. It was the very first single from that album called Love Never Felt So Good. So we're going to end out this half with that song. And then remember, we're heading to the VIP room with an incredible artist, Russell Taylor, on the other side. So stay tuned. Yes. Let me see you move.
Welcome to the Soul Lounge. The Soul Lounge is now open. And here's your host, the Lady DJ.
Hi, welcome to the VIP room inside the Soul Lounge. I am the Lady DJ, and I'm very excited to have this next artist hanging out with us. Time for a little testosterone in the VIP room. He is an artist that VH1 declared is one that you ought to know. And I've been watching him and listening to him for a while, and it is my pleasure to finally have him here inside the Soul Lounge. Russell, thank you so much, Russell Taylor, for being here.
It is absolutely my pleasure. Thank you.
Absolutely. So, you're originally from Philadelphia, correct?
Born and raised.
Yeah?
Philly cheesesteaks. Yes, baby.
Well, I'm sure Philly cheesesteaks and a ton of great music.
Oh,
because,
yeah.
I mean, they're deep-rooted soul and funk history inside.
Yeah. Gamble and Huff.
Yeah.
I mean, I can keep going. Philadelphia, I was raised in Philadelphia till I was 14.
Okay.
And then that's when we moved. My father was a sergeant on Philadelphia Police Force. My mother was a councilwoman. And, Philly is part of my blood.
Mm.
So, yeah, I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Now, did you grow up listening to music? Whenever I talk to artists, they say, from the time I was little, my parents would put a record on the record player and I'd dance around. Was that your story?
Indeed.
Yeah.
So, in my household, we had a big stereo cabinet with like big speakers and everything. And it was a tradition to listen to music on the weekends, like as a family, as we did work around the house, cleaning up and stuff. And with my parents, we listened to like all the soul greats, Marvin Gaye, Donny Hathaway, Roberta Flack, Dionne Warwick, like all of that stuff. But we also listened to Foreigner and Seals and Crofts and Neil Young And so I had an exposure to really all types of music. Mm. And with soul music and gospel, you know, I fell in love with particularly the early stuff. I fell in love with the intent, like a singer delivering with the intent of making you feel something. Mm-hmm. I fell in love with that, okay. The actor in me. Mm-hmm. I didn't know I was an actor when I was a kid, but that. But then when it comes to the other music, like the Seals and Croft and so forth, I fell in love with the storytelling. And there's just a very unique way of folk music, you know, to get a story across, word choice, phrasing, and so forth. So it was the combo kind of has influenced me today.
So as long as you've considered yourself an artist, you've also been a songwriter?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. And so these stories, have they always been your experiences, or would you borrow from other people's stories or the things that you see around you?
It's everything. Okay. I have a myriad of friends with crazy lives. I'm the only child, but I'm so much younger than my siblings. So I spend a lot of time with my imagination. So I'd make up stories in my head. I'd write things down. So my influences come from everywhere. Most recently, one of the first singles from the forthcoming record, War of Hearts, was inspired by the television show Scandal. And the love hate, I shouldn't do this, but it's so right thing between Olivia and the president. That was part of the inspiration, a big part of the inspiration behind War of Hearts.
Mm-hmm. And Scandal is a very popular television show here in the United States, and one that uses music mm-hmm. very, very well. I should say that too. They're
yes.
sort of setting the trend for bringing in artists that we know and mm-hmm. up and coming artists as well. Well, you mentioned the forthcoming album. Mm-hmm. Now, you are releasing this independently on your own label, is that correct?
Well,
okay.
We'll see. Stay
okay.
tuned.
Okay. All right. Well, let me ask you though about that idea. The idea of being an independent artist, because I get so many people who will come to me and say, I want to be an artist. I've got music. I don't know what to do with it, where to go. And there seems to be two thoughts. One, you go the route of the big label, or because we've got the internet and there's access mm. to everything, the gatekeepers are gone, so mm. to speak. Being an independent artist is viable these days. I'm just curious to know where you stand.
Okay. So it's changed over the past couple of years for me. I think my experience starting out was that I was signed to a production development deal to a major when I first started. And then when the president was let go, all of the production development people, myself included, were like artists and stuff, were let go as well. So I became an independent artist by necessity. I met Eric Roberson, who is like the king of indie. And Eric said, boy, you got to put this record out. I don't know what I'm doing, Eric. I don't know how to do it. He's like, I'll help you figure it out. And so he gave me a great blueprint. And then also it was up to me to pick the ball up and figure it out. Mm-hmm. So my advice going forward is that, and I'm sure Zach has played with everyone, independent and signed to a major label. I think the best way now is to always go indie first.
Okay.
Because you have to, there used to be a space in music where artists were groomed. And I don't think that record labels do so much grooming anymore. Mm-hmm. Like there are no budgets for it.
When you say grooming, what
grooming.
Do you mean?
So grooming, image usually comes first, but music, I believe in the music coming first. So music, there's a difference between singing on YouTube and to just your computer and singing to a crowd of 100 people plus, 5,000 people. You only get that experience by doing it. Mm-hmm. And, you know, there's a great benefit to learning how to win a room And you can't, you only learn that by playing live. And when I, from what I can understand from reading, major record labels used to groom artists as far as, like, you get out, you practice, you play, you learn how to do a room. We'll invest in you over the years, and you'll get better and you'll grow. I don't see that so much. Mm-hmm. Image, like figuring out, you know, who you are as an artist. Where do you fit? What is your sound? Where do you fit? If you could put yourself on a radio station before and after artists that are already being played, where do you fit? Mm-hmm. And I think as a, that's part of the grooming. And as an and then also just being able to do interviews, like all of these kind of things. When you start out as an independent artist, you also fortify yourself. Is this something that I really want to do? Because there are a lot of setbacks. And so when you get to the time, if you get to that place where you're, where you feel strong in the art, in the performance, in the brand of the this artist, then you have the choice of dealing with a major label.
Okay. All right. Well, let's go back to Image for a second, because I read an article in the Huffington Post.
See, I knew.
And it was all about your style. Now, before we go into your style, we do have to address one of your accessories.
Oh,
because someone may look at that and go, is that the new thing out of Philly?
Illustrious, beautiful boot.
What happened?
Okay, so I went to a friend's birthday party in the Bahamas, and I had on a pair of Havaiana flip-flops, and I slipped.
Oh.
Now, that's the real, that's the truth.
Okay.
But really what happened was, I was on a special FBI mission, and I was skydiving, and I just landed wrong on my leg.
Mm, okay. All right. We'll take that. That's your story. You're sticking with it. But let's talk about, though, the idea of aesthetics.
Yeah.
You know, we talk a lot about that with female artists, mm-hmm. but we don't talk much about it with male artists. The assumption is a man can just kind of get on stage and whatever it is that he rolled out of bed in or just found in the closet. But do you think it is important for male artists to be concerned with image and aesthetics?
I do. I think one of the, it's such a fine line. I think, you know, people, okay, I can look at myself. What do I like? What attracts me to an artist? I like to be able to relate to the artist. I like to be able to connect to the music. I like an artist that's humble, but also has something that I aspire to be or something that I desire, or, you know, whether it be how the artist look. Oh, I wish I had a six pack like that, or I like that artist's style, or, you know, whatever it is. So I think image has to, you can't just roll out of bed. Women, they talk about weight, and this is not just the artist. I think this is across the board. Women talk about weight and hair and so forth. It's the exact same thing with men, because we have to play, we have to be that fine line. We have to possess something that people aspire to be or desire, but also relatable. And if we just look like we just roll out of bed, it's like, well, okay, well,
yeah.
I mean, yeah. What's special about you? You know, I guess it's also kind of the same thing when you go to work, like a 9-to-5 job. Would you go to work, you know, just rolling out of bed, or would you go to work and put some thought into it? Like,
sure.
Yeah,
absolutely. We're talking to Russell Taylor. He's hanging out inside the VIP lounge. So War of Hearts.
Yes.
The new album, or
yes,
the forthcoming album.
Mm-hmm.
We want to hear something from it. I mean, we brought you here to talk, but we also brought you here to sing.
I would love
so
to.
So would you present something? What are we going to do first?
War of Hearts.
Okay. So the title track.
War of Hearts. Title track. This was a song that changed my life.
Okay.
So
let's do it.
People come and go, it kills me real slow. Life at its worst, so much that it hurts. Open up, let you win, don't wanna fall again. Original sin, same story, new wind. In me and my eyes, took me at hello. We're still in disguise, we lost all control. I'm battered and worn, our love has me torn. You fought for my heart, you fought for my heart. in this war, I conceded. I doubted you believed it. You were all that I needed in this war of art. In this war, I conceded. I doubted you believed it. You were all that I needed in this war of art. Dust still in the wind, I can't see to the end. The path is unclear. Behind my veneer, a new line in the sand, another battle to win. If you don't let me go, I might hurt you again. Enemy in my eyes, took me at low. We're still in disguise, we lost all control. I'm battered and worn, our love has been torn. You fought for my heart, you fought for my heart. In this war I conceded, I doubted you believed it. You were all that I needed in this war of art. In this war I conceded, I doubted you believed it. You were all that I needed in this war of art. I was dark, and you were the light that brought me back, back to life. And it's because you loved me, yeah, yeah. I was dark, and you were the light that brought me back, back to life. It's because you loved me, yeah. Oh, yeah, yeah. In this war of us, in this war I conceded, I doubted you believed it. You were all that I needed in this war of hearts. Hey! Oh, in this war I can see it. I doubted you believed it. You were all I needed.
Russell Taylor inside the VIP room in the Cell Lounge. So you were declared one of VH1's, well, the VH1 has this contest, that's my understanding, and it's called
You Ought to Know.
Mm-hmm. And so let me just say, you're in good company. Bruno Mars, Adele, Ed Sheeran, Lorde, all of these artists mm-hmm. have received this sort of coveted award. I'm curious, though, do you ever feel a sense of competition? Are you one of those artists who is just kind of always in your own realm? And because you hear that, I know every time someone mentions that, they go through that list. Bruno, you know.
For me, the reason why I say War of Hearts changed my life was because, you know, working as an artist and performing, you sometimes feel like... It's like a thankless job. Like sometimes there are moments where you're just like, oh my God, everything is wonderful. And then there are times where you're like, nobody cares. Mm-hmm. No matter how hard I work. And War of Hearts, it started in the summer where I got a call for a placement for the Black Ink Crew, War of Hearts, mm-hmm. which is a TV show on VH1 actually. Mm-hmm. And it was like, oh, okay. Okay, cool. All right. Okay, God, I hear you. And then one thing led to another, and then the You Ought to Know situation happened. And it was the first crowdsourced You Ought to Know for the product, for the brand, You Ought to Know for VH1. And so I had to have fans vote, and then I won. And for competition, when I look at the rest of the people that are You Ought to Know artists, is actually, for me, it's not competition. I'm going to get back to the You Ought to Know. A long time ago, before I had a voice coach who is no longer with us, named Ruby Glover. And Ruby Glover, for probably 4 lessons, we didn't even sing. We talked. And when we talked, she wanted to make sure that my head was right. And one of the things that this was when I was a kid, so stays with me. In art, there is no competition. If you're competing, then there's no way you can get to the heart of your truth for your art. So jumping to the You Ought to Know thing, when I got this, it was like, okay, people are paying attention. Okay, there is some validation, some mainstream validation here. And it's a challenge, like pat on the back that I made it to where these are artists like Bruno Mars and Adele, all artists that I love who have major backing, and then me. So that means that people see that I have it. I have something, not it. I have something, and it's up to me to kind of flush it out. Not competition, inspiration.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I like that.
Yeah. Exactly. I'm sorry, I'm a little long-winded.
No, that's okay. But I like that idea of we use each other to inspire us to a new height, as opposed to constantly competing.
Yeah, I got to
tell
the truth.
No matter what you do, that's true.
You can, there's only one truth for Russell Taylor, and I can't compete with anybody to tell that. I just got to tell it.
Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right, let's go overseas for a minute, because I understand you have traveled overseas quite a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, Derry, Paris.
Yes.
London.
Yes.
Keep
Amsterdam,
going. Okay.
Hague.
Okay.
Corsica.
All right, nice. So I'm just curious, as an American artist traveling overseas, and I ask everyone this, does it feel different? Do they receive you different? I hear some artists say there's a sense of freedom there because they're not constrained by the label. Like, you're just an artist, not a soul artist or an R&B artist or, you know, whatever, the hip hop. You're just an artist. Do you feel that way, or share your experience?
When I perform overseas, I'm being very thoughtful about this, not editing, just thoughtful and deliberate. Here in the States, I think that there is, and this is kind of taboo, but I'm going to say it, there is a color to genre. There's a race to genre in the States. And I don't think that that's the case in many places in Europe. So, you know, you have art. I mean, the case in point, you have Adele. There's a whole list of artists. Adele that sings soul music. You have Laura Mvula, who I don't know where you quite put her, but she does like across the board music. And you, Leanne LaHavas, Daily, Sam Smith. Now, like, so, you know, regardless of color, they just sing, and you kind of place it somewhere. Like, do I like it or don't I like it? And I overseas when I play, I don't feel that barrier. I feel like people come with an open mind. And my intention whenever I perform is to make my audience feel like how you come in and how you leave should be different, changed for the better.
Right.
Right?
Of course.
So my intention is always to make someone, I do soul music, whatever other category is on top of it. I sing my truth to people. So you should be changed. And I feel that overseas, people have an open mind when I step on stage, and it's a little more so there than here.
Okay. Well, since you opened the box, let's dig into it a little bit about the notion of soul music here in the United States.
Uh-huh.
There's this idea, because it is attached to race,
mm-hmm.
that we don't own it anymore. I've heard certain artists say that. I've heard them say that it's a problem. And then others say, you know, like I had Lettucey here. And Lettucey said, you know
my
what,
home
it, does,
girl.
It doesn't
love her.
Matter. You know, we just do what we do. So as an American artist, when you hear this notion that soul music as an expression of the African-American experience is dying, how do you feel?
By the way, I love Lettucey. I just wanted to say that. How do I feel? I feel frustrated sometimes because, going back to one of your earlier questions, as an African-American man that sings soul music, I feel that there's an expectation of me to sing about a certain subject matter in a certain way. And I'm supposed to look a certain way, sound a certain way, and that's all it can be. And, but I don't allow my, I get frustrated sometimes, but then I go back to the truth. If I tell the truth in the music, then it won't make a difference. But when I look at television or I see iTunes charts and stuff, sometimes I do get frustrated. I got to tell the truth. Mm-hmm. And I feel, oh, well, since I don't fit in this box, then maybe people won't partake of it, you know? But War of Hearts blasted that frustration out. You know, it's just a perception, and I just don't drink the Kool-Aid.
Okay. Mm-hmm. All right. Good. Well, let's hear more music then.
Yeah, you talk about
telling your truth.
Yes.
So another cut from the forthcoming album.
Yes.
All right. What is this one?
It's called Electric.
All right. Russell Taylor.
My man, Zach Cutler. I'm trying to can't catch my breath. I can't catch my breath. The space in between what you do and what I need, it drives me wild. It drives me wild. Can you feel it happen? Music is so loud. It's so electric. You and me right now. Can you feel it happen? Music is so loud. It's so electric. You with me right now. Oh, 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 oh. When everything is new and I am here with you, I can't slow down, yes, I won't slow down. When life becomes aligned, we're falling out of time. I gotta let go, yes, I gotta let go. Can you feel it out? Hey, music is so loud, it's so electric. You with me right now. Can you feel it out? Hey, music is so loud, it's so electric. You with me right now. Oh, 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 oh.
Russell Taylor. I'm hearing a little bit of Howard Hewitt in there.
Oh, man, I take that.
Okay, then I mean it as a compliment. Howard Hewitt,
yeah.
Like, yeah, I hear, I don't know, I like that. I love it, actually. That's hot. So that's from the War of Hearts album, which is coming out very soon.
Yes, indeed.
All right, before I let you go, you've got to play a game with me. You down?
Let's go.
You game? All right, so what's in your ear? That's what it's called. Mm-hmm. I ask everyone three questions, and you just have to answer it. So we start off, it's Sunday afternoon, you got to clean the house, you got some things to do, we all are there, you know, laundry to fold, what's playing in the background?
Molly Music.
Okay, oh yeah.
Sunday, Molly Music, got to start with a little gospel, soul gospel. Tamar Braxton, I've been playing a lot, All the Way Home and Pieces of Me. A throwback, this is this past Sunday. Well, Molly Music is new, but a throwback that I've been really into is the Leanne La Havas, and a throwback meaning like a year ago. Laura Mvula. I'm totally into them.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Nice. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's Friday night.
Yes. Oh.
Night, your thing worked out just nice, just perfectly. So, okay, you know, romantic night.
Teddy Prendergrass.
Okay.
Turn off the lights.
Okay.
That's always the set the mood record. Sometimes I put a little M83. Ah, you got to get into it. Okay. M83 is like ambient mood, right? And a little Jenny Aiko.
Okay. All right.
Let me set you up with a playlist.
Can you make a mixtape for me?
I got you. And you'll seal a deal every time.
Okay. All right. We'll talk about that after summer. All right. And then finally, you know, that everybody has that music that just makes them feel good when things aren't going the way that they want. That music that inspires you, that lifts you out of darkness.
It's really hard to narrow it. So I'll have to just say, because there are a lot of artists, I'll have to say the most recent one, Kirk Franklin. The record, I don't know the title, but it's the record where he's standing on the top of the mountain with a flag in it. I think it's like Set It Free or something. I just listened to that whole record, and it took me out.
Okay.
I think there's such power in gospel music, particularly... for me now, like modern gospel, like Kirk Franklin and an artist like Mary, help. Oh my goodness. When you listen to those records, they definitely change you.
Oh,
so
yeah. Mary is definitely on my list every day.
Right.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. All right. Russell Taylor, thank you so much. This was so much fun.
Thank you.
I appreciate you being here. And as always, I appreciate you hanging out with us inside the Soul Lounge. We will see you next time. Until then, take care of yourselves and each other. Peace.
Soul Lounge.